Repentance without demonstration is not repentance. When you put your faith in Jesus and you surrender your life to Him, He gives you a brand new heart. And that is exciting. He replaces your old hard, crusty, selfish heart with a brand new heart full of love. He puts His heart on the inside of you. And now the problem with that is, there was no problem with that, but your flesh, you don't get a brand new body. You don't get brand new flesh, not at that particular time. We'll get resurrected bodies at the resurrection, but when you first give your heart to Jesus, you get a new heart, but you don't get a new flesh. Your flesh still likes sugar in gross amounts. Your flesh is, for some reason, I don't know why it is, it's just drawn to evil. Maybe I shouldn't use the word evil, but I don't know what it is. It's just drawn to things that are not of God. The things that are not healthy. The flesh always wants to swim in a little deeper in a pool of evil. And that's the problem with, you know, sin. We talk about it as kids. You know, it's exciting for a moment, but it gets less exciting, so you always have to up it. And, you know, even if it's, you know, not like things you traditionally think as sin, you know, even if you're just giving comfort to your flesh, after a while, it's not as comforting as it was the first time. And, you know, some people just think anything, just would love to have a 7-day vacation. You know, they've never had more than a day off or a couple days or whatever. They just think, man, if I could just have a 7-day vacation sitting on a beach. And then after they've done that several times, well, then it's not a beach anymore. It's got to be a beach in Florida. Or then it's got to be a beach in the Cancuns, or it's got, I mean, you always, it's just to get the same thing, you know, that's just the nature of the flesh. And your flesh always wants to swim in a little deeper, but the thing about that is, that's not a heart issue. That's just flesh. And no one's surprised. We all got flesh, so we all understand that. And God understands that. But it's not a heart issue. That's a different kind of issue. Your weak flesh is not what condemns you before God. When you receive Jesus, you get a brand new heart. And so the fact that your flesh remains weak, that isn't what condemns you. An evil heart is what condemns a person. That's the part that Jesus focuses on. Romans 4:8 says this, "Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him." It doesn't say blessed is the one who never sins. He knows you're going to sin. He knows you're going to be weak. We don't even know what to call sin. Most stuff we call sin, we just pick the bad things. We don't know that just catering to our flesh is a sin. You know, we don't just know that, you know, giving way to our flesh is weakness. That all the we practice. I mean, it's just our the nature of our flesh. You know, even if you don't do something good that you should have done, that's a sin. And you know, and so I was like really good this morning. I was taking the umbrella out to people.
Thank you.
That was very nice.
But I probably skipped someone because I thought, oh, he's tough. He can do it without that umbrella. So I guess that was a sin because I knew I should have taken the umbrella to him, but I didn't do it. And so, in God's standards, that's a sin. Just to neglect. Aaron's over there worrying. Oh, I gave him the job after I quit. Anyway. And so just not to do the good. So there's no way you can measure up. Forget about the bad things you do, just the things you don't do. And how many of you guys have ever thought, you know, I probably should do something for my wife or somebody, and then you thought, nah. You know, okay, thank you, Brian. One honest person. The rest of you just sinned. Anyway, you know, and so that's, you know, so I mean, there's no way to count those, but that's not what gets you in trouble. You know, it's not the sins of the flesh. Romans 8:4-8 says, "Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them." Christians, that's the great thing about us is, you know, all these little weak things that we do and make mistakes with, God doesn't count them. He doesn't impute them. It's like we haven't done them. And so we try to go around claiming that we're better than other people. We're just flattering ourselves. But the truth is what the advantage we have is God just doesn't count our sins. And that's a blessing. And so the sins that count are the sins of the heart, not the sins of the flesh. So if God has given you a brand new heart, if you get the heart of Jesus, then you don't, after that, you don't have any sins that count. You don't have any other sins that God will impute against you. Once you receive a new heart, the battle is on, though. Things get dicey real fast. Your flesh wants to follow the old ways. And, you know, just because you got saved and, you know, decided to, Jesus into your heart, you know, your flesh didn't sign on to that. And under the old way, your flesh wants to do evil. Your flesh pretty as much, it just wants to do what it wants to do. And your heart says, hey, you know what? That's a great idea. And, you know, and so you just kind of live that way. But when you get this thing called a brand new heart, things change. Because your new heart does not want to follow after sin. It doesn't want to follow the old ways. Your flesh does not want to follow the new way. And so after you get a new heart, your flesh still wants to do evil, but your heart says, no way, and then the battle is on. And you will wrestle with that all the way into heaven. And the battle between your old flesh and your new heart takes place in the battlefield of the mind. That's going to be the decision making. Who is going to win this particular battle? My flesh wants one thing, my heart wants another. Which one wins? And that's why we must re-educate our minds. And you need to fill your mind with the Word of God. And when you do, what you'll find is your heart will win more and more. But if you don't renew your mind, if you don't fill your mind with the Word of God, even though your heart is as pure as it will ever be, even though Jesus loves you as much as He will ever love you, and though you can't make Him love you any less, and though God isn't angry with you, if you don't fill your mind with the Word of God, your flesh will win the daily battles. But when you fill your mind with the Word of God, your flesh will not win, and it will lose its voice. And has anyone here, is there any former smokers here that used to smoke cigarettes? Do you remember the first day you quit? Was you real successful on that day? Did you get in any fights or arguments? Did you get mad and throw anything? I don't know what happened. How was the second day or the third day? How many of you had some battles early on, but then after a while, did it finally subside? Did you ever get where you didn't want cigarettes at all anymore? Yeah. And so, you know, your flesh can be trained. And, or those kinds of things. You can win over the selfishness of the flesh. You can train yourself not to be a selfish person. If you learn to get your flesh under control. But the only way you can do that is by renewing your mind to the Word of God so that your spirit can get the upper hand. God loves you. He forgives your sins. He forgives the sins of the flesh. But here's the only thing about that is even we talk about those things because we want people to know how much God loves them and that we're not saved by works and all of that. But here's the downside to sin, or the downside to letting the flesh rule, is that it reaps horrible things in this life. And so even though God forgives you the sins of the flesh and doesn't impute them to you, you know, you still pay a price for them. You know, you're not exempt, you know, from running stoplights or any other number of dumb things that you can do. You will reap destruction from the things that your flesh does. And so the biggest danger is that you will bring death to your new heart. And so there is danger in letting the flesh continue to rule in your life. We need to go about the business of wrestling with our flesh, not out of guilt and condemnation, but just out of the sheer blessing that we receive when we win. For your heart to be strong, it needs victories. Failure dries up the bones. There's nothing that'll, to dry a Christian out, I think, faster than just not being able to experience change in their lives. You know, when you come to Jesus and you start experiencing change in your life, it's exhilarating. And you know, and then sometimes later on, when people aren't experiencing change in their lives anymore, that's sometimes when they begin to withdraw and to back off those kinds of things. We need always to be changing. We always need to be up in our game. We need victories to fuel our fire. Victory becomes the springboard for the next victory in your life. On God's side, there is always grace. There's always love. There's always more help. But for your heart to be strong, in other words, if you want to be victorious in this life, if you want to be on top of the game instead of below, you know, it needs victories that come from God. If you're not receiving any victories that come from God, you know, your confidence is probably completely shot. Things probably look pretty dim and dull and things. I mean, there's troubles in life. There are many Christians with weak hearts. There are many Christians with weak heartbeats, and there are many Christians that you know, have undetectable heartbeats, yet they're still alive. But it's just that their flesh is in so much control that you would never know it. And sometimes they don't even know it. But I'm going to tell you something, the grace of God goes beyond your flesh. And so when a Christian gets like that, they need their hearts revived. And I'm just telling you, in this life, the way that you revive your heart, the way that you get into victory is, you know, you need a victory. You need to either overcome smoking, or you need to overcome an attitude towards your spouse, or you need, whatever it is, you need some sort of victory in your life. This is where works or deeds come in. We are not saved by works. But works are the food of the heart. Every good work is a victory. I mean, every time you can do something good, that's a victory. It is not normal to do good. It is not normal to sacrifice your place for someone else's place. It is not normal to give up something for the benefit of someone else. Your heart thrives on good deeds. And if you want to see a sad Christian, you just find someone whose flesh is running their life, whose flesh is always on top. And they're just never happy. They can't be, because they live in a constant state of condemnation and guilt, even though God doesn't condemn them. They need to experience some change. They need to experience some victory in their life, because when they start to experience that victory, that's when they're excited. Talk to someone I remember, you know, most of the time it's you start talking about, hey, would you like to go be a camp counselor? And the only ones that really want to go be camp counselors are the ones that just got out of camp last year and they're too old to go back, and they want to go back, so they go back as counselors or whatever. But anybody that's been out a few years, well, I don't want to go back. And except for Brian and Robin, and they're different, so they don't count. But they, you know, they don't want to go. So you find somebody that goes, they finally agree to go to be a counselor. Okay, and they sign up, and then they go off to be with the kids all week, and the kids drive them absolutely nuts, and it's just whatever, and it's hot, yada, 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 yada. But when they come back, it's not just the kids that are different. It's that person who went and served and gave something up because it's just a spark in their life. Your heart thrives on good deeds. Have you ever broke down and did something good for somebody? And then you felt wonderful afterwards? Acts chapter 26, verse 20. I preached that they should repent and turn to God. This is what Paul preached to Gentiles and Jews alike. He says, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. So we're not called just to repent and to receive Jesus into our heart, but we're called to demonstrate that with deeds. That's the word of God that was preached. And it's not changed from that. In a nutshell, that's still the message today. See, Paul was on trial. He was defending his preaching while under trial, you know, and they were accusing him of being a troublemaker. And Paul explained that he did not preach trouble, that he did not stir up troublemakers, They didn't find him doing that. They've never heard him preach that or say that. He preached that people should repent of being troublemakers and then act as peacemakers. Not rebelling against authorities, but submitting to authorities. Even the ungodly authorities. He was the opposite of what his accusers claimed him to be. No one wants a bunch of do's and don'ts. I don't know what can make Christianity more unpalatable. Is that a word? Than that. Do's and don'ts. That is a person who is trapped in do's and don'ts is, they got chains so heavy. No one wants that. And so there is a compulsion to work that comes from the flesh. A motive. And that's a motive of fear. But those kinds of works that come because your flesh is afraid of what happens if it doesn't, those kind of works does not lead to victory. At most, they just keep you going until you die, I guess. And the reason is because they're dead works. That's what a dead work is. A dead work is something that doesn't provide you with life. Dead work is something that doesn't contribute to life, the life of God. It's just dead. Legalism and judgment and trying to earn recognition amongst people, it just leads to defeat, not victory. And there are just a lot of people that are they're more afraid of other people than they are God. The works you do as a Christian, they need to come from the motives of your heart. God has done so much for you. And he has set you free from so much. And you are no longer a slave, but you're a free person. And you can now work for the Lord. You can be out there living for his purposes. Not those old things that's going to die. But the thing about that is that doesn't happen if your flesh is in control. Works that bring victory to your lives come out of the heart. They come out of the heart that Jesus has put on the inside of you. Believe it or not, he speaks to you. He gives you desires. He's at work. But before you can complete any of the works, the heart that Jesus gives you must first be given a chance to rule. As long as your flesh is carrying the day, as long as your flesh is getting the way, it doesn't matter how good your heart is. It's not making any difference. There's no deeds that are in keeping with what's gone on the inside. When your heart rules, the works that you do provide the juice you need in your life. If you need some juice in your life, change something. Just change. Change an attitude. Change a behavior. Change anything. Just, pick something that's simple or whatever it is. Do something for your husband. Do something. If you have a husband, you never bought your wife flowers, go buy her some flowers. Just because you love the Lord. And he made such a wonderful creature in her. Just find something and get a little bit of change. Whatever that needs. Everybody has certain things, that they need to change. But if you will just do something, you will feel better about your life. You will feel better about your place in the kingdom of God. A spark will become, that's the juice that we live on. And when Christians stop doing that and the juice goes out, you're not headed to any place that's good. The deeds that the Lord gives us to do, that's a privilege. That's an awesome thing. He is giving us a way into victory. It's a secret. The world doesn't know about it, but we can know about it. And that's how we find the place that God wants to take us to. God will endow you with his righteousness regardless of your works. You can't earn that. That's something Jesus bought for you. You are endowed with that. You are his righteousness. But in this world, you reap according to how you sow. If you sow dead works, if you're just going out and doing these good deeds because someone told you a Christian has to do those things, that's fine. But all you're going to reap is death. You go out and you do all the work you can, and you keep doing them day after day after day after day after day, and I'll tell you what the end result is. Unless I get there first. They will not save you. If you sow dead works, you'll reap death. But if you sow living works, you'll reap life. Amen. You can be alive on the inside and not sow. Just because Jesus gives you His life, just because He puts a brand new heart on the inside of you, doesn't mean that you're going to do anything prompted by it. You can have a brand new heart, never sow. You can just give way to your flesh. You can live and still sow dead things. You can get a brand new heart, still everything you do is out of fear. Even though God gave you life, your experience can be that of a dead person. But that's not by God's design. That's not what He wants. He wants to make you alive. He wants you to have a life of wonder. He wants you to have victory in your life. He doesn't want your experience to be like that of a dead person. If you don't sow anything that is alive, that's going to be your experience. James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Feels like death. It doesn't feel like it's alive. Jesus didn't put His spirit on the inside of you so that you could feel dead. He didn't put His spirit on the inside of you so that you could have the experience of a dead person. You know, when you have Jesus on the inside of you, when you're living the right kind of life, when you can be chained up, beat up, and thrown into prison, and you'll find yourself singing in the middle of the night. Do you think those guys just made that up because? No, that's their experience. Stephen, while he was being stoned, you know, had an epiphany. He had goosebumps. The hairs were standing up on his arms. More than anything you've ever experienced. He stood to his feet and said, I see the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. Having faith in Jesus without deeds, motivated by the Spirit He's put on the inside of you, is like having a body without taking a breath. If you think that's funny, you want to know what that's like, just stop breathing. You'll find you want to breathe pretty fast. And as Christians, we should look at deeds like that. When we stop, when we're not producing deeds in keeping with our repentance, you know, then that's just like holding your breath. The question is, you know, how faint do you want to get? Do you want to get right to the edge where you pass out? You know, I mean, how faint? Take a breath. Do something good for somebody. Do something that's not just for yourself. Do something that's motivated from the love that's in your heart. Don't be afraid to love. Yes, people will slap you around and they will make fun of you. Paul just tried to help people and they accused him of being a criminal. They hung Jesus on a cross. They are not going to put you on their shoulders and trample you around the world like you are somebody great. They're going to accuse you, they're going to push you down, and they're going to say all of these things. But the point is if you're sowing good deeds for the right purposes out of the heart, you will be at the best place you've ever been in your life. And you will feel pity for the blind that don't know the privileges that God has given to His children. You need to breathe, and you need deeds as a Christian. Deeds that are in line with your confession. And you will never run out of opportunities to change your deeds or to do a little more or to do a little better or to be a little more sincere. You repented from your life of sin. Now let that be evident in the way that you live. Don't follow old patterns, old paradigms, old understandings, and those kinds of things. That's giving away, surrendering the privilege that God has given to you. Think of a farmer who prays every morning for God to bless his crops. I mean, he is one heck of a prayer where every single morning before the crack of dawn, he is up and he is praying for the Lord to bless his crops and only one problem. He never planted any. He never fertilized them. He's cursed because he never made an effort to plant, not because God's mad at him, not because God doesn't want to bless him. Without the Spirit, a man's works are cursed. But even then, if he plants, he has a chance. But your deeds are blessed. That's the cool thing about it. You have to understand, when you do an honest deed, a loving deed, motivated from the Spirit of God on the inside of you, it is blessed, blessed, blessed. No one is going to take that reward from you. It will not happen. God will not let that happen. Will not. They are the mechanism by which God pours out His blessing on you, but you must have deeds in keeping with your repentance, just to give God an opportunity to bring that spark, to bring that well of water, to bring that victory to your life. The sun goes up, the sun goes down, it comes back up and it goes down, and it does that all the time, and it does not know a good day from a bad day. A good time from a bad time. The only thing that makes a difference in our life, whether it's a good day or a bad day, is simply whether or not we're giving God an opportunity to make it a good day. If you don't plant or fulfill deeds, harvest time is going to be a very depressing time for you. Getting through the winter is going to be hard. Oops. I guess instead of having that extra party of baked bread, we should have planted that seed. I don't know. It's going to require a lot of intense struggle for you to make it through. But when spring comes, praise the Lord for spring, and you have a chance to plant, at least the moment you go out and put some seeds in the ground, at least now, hope can come back alive. May not have any more food to eat. Things may not be any better, but at least once you've planted a seed, once you've got it in the ground, once it's going, you get, okay, now I got a little reason for a little bit of juice in my life. I was about faint, ready to pass out. Now I feel a little revived. And that's what deeds do for us. It's like planting a seed, and the minute you plant it, hope is birthed. And the more seeds you plant, the more deeds you plant, that way the greater your hope grows. You still won't have a harvest till fall, but once you plant, hope comes alive. So if you're in a long winter in your life, or if you're just discouraged with your life, the way that you break out of that is by doing some good deeds. I know sometimes when you're really down and things really, really dark, that's like, you know, the last thing you want to hear. But I'm just telling you, you got to get up and take a breath. You know, if you're about ready to pass out because you haven't taken a breath, and I tell you, well, take a breath, and that depresses you. You know, that's kind of a sad place to be in. But I'm just telling you, take a breath. It doesn't have to be some great thing. You don't have to change the whole world overnight, but just pick something. And then when you feel a little energy, then you can pick something else. God doesn't want you to be defeated. If you're in a bad place, the answer is to plant. You know, live today with deeds in keeping with being a child of God. Go wash the dishes in the kitchen sink, thanking God that you have dishes. Clean out the garage. Take cookies to the neighbor. I'm your neighbor, by the way. No, not really. I don't need cookies. Help a coworker with his or her job. I see workers all the time. They avoid doing something. They, you know, it's like there's a piece of trash on the floor and they all walk around it, you know, see who's going to end up having to pick it up. Just be that person. Just do it. Whatever. You're not going to be, if you do that with the right heart, you're going to win. Help a coworker with this job. Smile at a cashier who's having a hard day. Be kind to your mate who's not measuring up with all the things that they're supposed to be doing. Whatever the case may be, just find some way to be a light. Open your Bible and read it. Come to Bible study. Turn off the TV. Turn off the computer. I mean, you know, sign up for a Bible class. Volunteer. All day long, we have opportunities. You see, God wants you to have success. He really does. He wants you to have success. He's planned for success for you. Give Him something to bless. Sarah Weiss, she hasn't been here lately. We need to call her. Pitcher? Sarah Weiss joined CrossFit. And she took the 6-week challenge. She lost 24 pounds. But she had to show up. She's an inspiration right now to many others. God helped her, but she had to do something for Him to bless it. Hearts and Hands had a garage sale. And they raised close to $400 a quarter at a time. And it's amazing. I don't even know how they did that. That was like bread being split or something, because I didn't think there was $400 worth of stuff in there if you added it up. Those ladies worked hard on that, but you know what? There wouldn't have been a blessing if they hadn't showed up to put the stuff on the tables. Richard Madison, he's done children's church in there for I don't know how many years, a long time. Some of you probably don't even know who Richard Madison is. He's been here as long as I've been here, and he's back there works in the if I tell him he can't be back there, he gets mad. He'd get mad. And then he listens to all of my sermons, every single one of them. Not only does he listen to them, he actually edits them. He knows my sermons better than I do. John and Aaron are here greeting people every Sunday morning. They got to show up early. Michael runs a dog rescue. The man's here practicing almost every Saturday. Susan and Jared run the sound booth. Peggy and Terry make coffee. Brian and Robin do youth. Todd went to camp as a counselor. And, you know, hopefully every one of you can identify with investing gold that God has given to you through your deeds. And they don't have to just be at the church, but every day in your life. You know, God has given you gold. Some people are afraid to get up in front of other people. You ought to be me and have to get up in front of other people. Hopefully every one of you can identify with investing gold that God has given you through deeds. Maybe when you are tired and you step up to serve someone. God gives us all gold. Gold is not the money. Gold is just the life that's on the inside of you. Don't work out of fear that comes from your flesh. Some people go to work only because they fear they won't have any treats for their flesh. In other words, they're miserable all day long, you know, just so they can do what they're going to do in the evening. Or they're miserable all week long. They're just waiting for the weekend. I hear them on Monday morning. Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, it's Monday. When's it going to be Friday? They wish their whole lives, 5 days a week out of seven, they wish it away. Their goal is to be able to treat their flesh when the weekend comes. And you should be working for God when you're at work. You don't wait for the weekend. Your paycheck may come through your employer, but trust me, when you get that paycheck, that's God blessing you. And, you shouldn't be working based on how well you think your boss is treating you or those kinds of things. That's not what juices our life. That's not what motivates us. You know, I mean, I'm just telling you, if you're going to enjoy anything anyway, you know, there has to be some restraint. You know, if you'll just live your life doing what you're supposed to do at work, you know, instead of dreading the whole thing, at least then when you do get time to recreate, it'll mean a lot more to you. If all you want to do is recreate, then pretty soon it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're bored anyway. Don't live for flesh fest. God will provide you plenty of time to recreate. But if you live for flesh perks, your returns will constantly be diminished. And even then, when you get more, it won't be more. What good does it do to get twice the income if you feel poor or you're more bored with the things that you have? You used to just want to have a car that didn't have rust in it. Now you got five of them parked out there in the garage and you're just as bored as can be. If you're going to spend time at work, why not get God's blessing on your time? You do that by working from your heart. It's not about the work, it's about people. You're setting an example. Be an inspiration to the person you're working next to. Be an inspiration to your mate. Be an inspiration to the people at church. You know, in other words, you know, live out of the abundance of the new heart that God has put on the inside of you. It's a discipline. I understand that. Your flesh doesn't want this, but trust me, it's a wonderful way to live. Be an inspiration to your boss. That old goat needs some help. God has given you a pocket full of gold. Use it doing good deeds. Don't squander it. Don't set on it. Invest it. Plant it. Put your gold to work doing good deeds. The gold I'm talking about is the life within you, the ability to extend goodwill, the ability to look past an offense. Do you know what looking past an offense is? It's forgiving a debt. That's like handing somebody money. If you went around handing out money to people all day, you would be very popular probably. Don't sit on that. That's an opportunity. That's something you can do. God put that ability on the inside of your heart. You need to discipline yourself so that you have ability to forgive people so that you're not being ripped apart because somebody looked at you wrong or because you thought they didn't look at you or whatever the reason is, you know. I know your minds probably aren't as crazy as mine, but nevertheless, you know, just forgive people. That's something you can do. And you get better at it the more you do it. And it's the easiest if you don't let yourself get mad in the first place. It's funny. All you have to do is let your heart lead you instead of your emotions, which is your flesh. You know, it's a battle because your flesh is a big baby. You just need to understand. Just admit your flesh is a big baby. And it cries out night and day, what about me? What about me? Well, me is dead and turning to dust. I wouldn't pay much attention to me. So let the life that God put on the inside of you reign. That's the real you. That's the eternal you. That's the one that's going on. The heck with the part of you that's dead. Don't worry about having money to invest in stocks. You have money others don't have. Live a life of good deeds. Or just goodwill towards people. If you just have goodwill towards people, the deeds will follow. But when you're thinking about me and you're just counting your lot and all those kinds of things, you're too depressed to invest any gold in anybody. And then the juice runs out. When you learn to do good deeds and you find out that God is the one that's juicing your life, I mean, it becomes addictive. You don't want the juice to go out. Yodem. Oh, I didn't put a Yodem slide in it. Sorry. You're the meeting. Your flesh doesn't always want to be available for others. I understand that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take time off for rest and those kinds of things. But showing up and loving people is one way you can invest your gold that God has given to you. Just show up. I mean, sometimes that's all children want. They just love their dad to show up in their life. He's there all the time, but he's not. They want they're just their moms or whatever. There's, you know, these cases. You know, I just love my employees to come to work and show up. Even when they come here, they're not here. And, you know, and then you got some guy running around all frustrated. Everybody's all frustrated. When an animal gets old, what does it do right before it dies? Anybody know? Goes away, and what's it do? Yep. Goes away and finds a spot and lays down and dies. Don't seek out spots to lay down. Don't look for that. That's not a good thing. That's what your flesh will want to do, but you know, you got to be smarter than that. Oh, you ain't going to find no spot to lay down. You just forget that nonsense. That's death at work. Find a spot where you can invest, a spot where you can do a good deed. Bob, how old are you?
How old are you, Bob? Right now,
today.
Today I'm 89.
89 years old.
Praise God.
And I don't know if that man will come and do any remodeling in the kitchen or not, but he is a blessing to me every Sunday morning.
Amen.
Everybody has gold to invest. When you repented and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, your heart changed. And now you need to change your mind. You know, you draw a line in the sand. I don't do the old junk I used to do. I don't think the way I think, and I'm not going to think that way again. I do new things. Let deeds in keeping with your repentance be evident in your life. This is how you walk on the road to victory. When you stop your flesh from being the dominant voice in your life and your heart becomes the dominant voice, victory will just flow to you. I don't care what the circumstance in life is, it just won't be bad. Even if it's bad, you're not going to think it's bad. We're working. By the way, this Tuesday night, and I don't need to wait until Tuesday night to work, but I can start working anytime, and work on Monday, whatever. I'll be working during the day, so you know. I guess my time's hit and miss. What I'm saying is, if somebody wants to come work, you can't come on Tuesday night. Let me know. I'll try to make time to be here. I need help hanging the grid for the ceiling. That's not real hard. It's just climbing up there and hanging it. And we need to hang cabinets. That's a little more complicated. Takes some skills, I guess. Floor needs cleaned. It takes a lot of skill. A lot of determination, whatever that would be called. You know, the nice thing about all this is we have all the materials for the project. They're all purchased. Paid for, sitting in a hallway, and all we need to do is the building phase is all done. All we need to do is get the stuff we purchased installed and put up, and our cafe will be open. And so, if you get a chance to come help, of course, this sermon wasn't all about getting you to come help do that. I just threw that in at the end. But you know, in your life, just try that this week sometime if you would. Just try not to be the same old, same old, same old. And, you know, unless you have been a super bright spot, on and on and on, then you keep doing that. But, you know, if you've been a little gloom or a little down or your light's a little dim or a little depressed or a little feeling sorry or those kinds of things, you know, and someone reaching out and giving love is always encouraging, but at some point you need to do a deed. Do something that will juice yourself and don't do it out of the flesh. You know, if you do a deed out of the flesh, you'll do the deed, then you'll turn around and wonder, okay, now when am I getting paid back? You know, and that's a different kind of thing, and you're never going to get paid back, so don't even bother doing it. You just be madder than you were before. But when you serve the Lord, you're looking for Him. And some of our rewards, we won't even see them until we get into heaven. That's okay, too. And, you know, we shouldn't be so immature that we can't even invest anything for heaven. You know, just put sparks in your life and see if you don't feel better. And, again, don't do dead works. That's just ones you do out of compulsion or because you, whatever. You need to do it because you love people. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have created us to do good works, that you put within us the ability to do good deeds, if that's simply having goodwill towards someone, forgiving someone, praying for someone, smiling, shaking someone's hand. So many little things, Lord. Lord, let us not be those that shrink back into the doom and the gloom of the lost when we have so much advantage in our life. But let us live in the advantage that belongs to us. Forgive us, Lord, for short-sightedness, for weakness. Help us to keep growing. Teach us and guide us. Feed us your word. Help us to change that we might have a hope for tomorrow. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy, that no matter how weak and tired we get, that you're always there helping us, even when we don't recognize us. You never leave us nor forsake us, but you're always there whispering in our ear whenever we're willing to listen, this is the way. Father, help us to be encouragers, just to turn our lights on and to crank the battery juice up a little higher, and just to live in the joy of living for you, and let that be enough. Lord, there's nothing in this world that it has that can reward us appropriately, that can give us the life that you give us, the hope that you give us, the victory that comes from you. Help us, Lord, to love you by loving those around us, by willing, Lord, to put ourselves out there in this time, to be those that say, here I am, use me. Let my light shine brightly. Let me be a spreader of joy and hope. Father, when hits come and the enemy attacks, let my hope shine brightly, my confidence to be reaffirmed, my example to be stellar, or that we might be an encouragement to everyone who is attacked. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be yours, and the victory and the rewards that belong to us. We thank you for them today. May our eyes turn towards them more and more. Lord, may the cares of life and deceitful of riches become dimmer in our eyes day by day, and the good things that you have to offer us become brighter. Thank you so much for the abundance that you provide, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you so much. Thanks for coming and listening to me. It really is a privilege. I do love you guys very much.